Hello and welcome back to the Bug in a Rug podcast. Once again, my name is Caitlin and I'm here with my lovely sister, Whitney.
Hello, I am here.
She is, thank goodness. So, this episode, we're gonna shake it up a little bit because I'm actually not telling the story this time.
That's right, I decided to do the hard work this time that Caitlin has been doing and research a topic. I didn't give Caitlin a choice of what she wanted to learn about. I decided to pick one and just go with it. And surprise, we're doing another cryptid.
Cryptids are the best, I think.
They are. And I tried to find one that not many people know about or have heard about, because I had sure never heard of this one.
Right, right.
And there's not a lot out there on it, although the story is very convincing to me personally.
Right. That's probably why there's not, why, I feel like if there's not a lot out there about it, then not a lot of people are going to know about it. You know what I mean? Right. It's kind of like a tough situation, because you're like, oh, this one's so good, no one's heard about it, but it's also like, oh, there's a reason.
Well, the other part of it is that the only sightings of this cryptid happened in 1973.
Oh, okay.
And that's the only time, the only year, that this creature has ever been seen.
Interesting.
Right, so
maybe it's one of those things that's like every 100 years.
So in 2073, you'll find us in Enfield, Illinois.
Oh, okay. I've never heard. Never been.
Never been, never heard. I haven't either.
Okay, that's fine.
This
Enfield,
is
Enfield, how do you spell that?
E-N-F-I-E-L-D.
Enfield, okay.
Enfield, Illinois. And I've looked up a little bit about Enfield. Small town.
I'm sure.
Well, village, town. Sources disagree.
Or 1973.
We're talking about 1973. Doesn't that depend,
like, isn't a village, like, the description is, like, a certain number of people, right?
Yes, we would have to research that.
Okay, go ahead,
sorry. Which I did not do. That's all right. So, Enfield, Illinois, and right before we started recording, I exclaimed, darn it, we missed it, because I know you were very confused.
I was very confused.
But that is because Enfield, Illinois is known as the home of Mule Days.
Mule Days.
Mule Days. Mule Days. Funny you should ask. It started in 1921, and it is called Mule Days because breeders from all around of mules would come to Enfield and meet there because they had, quote, superior quality mules.
I like it.
I like it, too. So, since 1921, they've had a parade every single year.
And we missed it.
We missed it the first Wednesday through Saturday of October. I'm very...
Oh, my God. We just missed it.
I know. Oh, we could get on a plane right now. No, it would have been last weekend.
Ugh. I'm really upset, actually.
Ah, beans. I know. I am, too. As soon as I started reading what all we missed, which is the Enfield, Illinois Mule Day celebration, Wednesday through Saturday in October, includes gospel singing, a Mule Day queen contest.
Wait, hold on. A queen, like a person queen, or like they pick like the queen mule?
You know, I was just thinking it was like a human queen of Mule Day. But I don't know that I would want to be named the Mule Day Queen.
I would. Are you kidding me?
I would rather have a mule who was the queen.
Maybe they do both and then, like, you walk around together.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
We need to look more into this later. Updates will be posted.
Meet us there next year.
Meet us there next year. Exactly a little less than a year from today. Anyway, so we have gospel singing, a Mule Day Queen contest, a Princess and Prince contest, a Little Tot contest, a pet parade. Yes. I bet the number one pet is?
A mule?
Probably mules.
Okay.
I don't know that for sure. It's just a guess.
Okay.
They have a cakewalk, kids games, a street band, 2-mile run, and, drumroll, bingo every night and several times on Saturday.
We have to go to this one.
I'm very excited.
I'm going to put in my Google Docs. I'm making a note of it right now. We're going.
Flash mob at Mule Day Parade next year.
How far away is Enfield, Illinois? Can't be that far away from us, right?
Several hours.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Chicago's at least 12. We could drive there. We could drive there if we had a big enough carpool.
Okay.
Anyway, Enfield is a town, as of 2019, of only 556 people.
Wow, okay.
So it's small, and yeah. The population's been declining since about 2010.
Okay.
I do not have the technological savvy to figure out how to access the census from 1973, but it's always been a small town. Yeah. It is described as a small town. So I'm giving you all this background, just hyping you up for our next trip, because I think we need to go see if we can catch a glimpse of the Enfield Horror.
Huh?
That is the name of the cryptid we're talking about.
Say that again?
Enfield Horror. Okay. Very creative, I know.
Okay.
But, you know, unique.
Horror. No, that sounds scary.
Yes, well, hopefully I'll give you the creepy crawlies, and we're going to figure out after this if I can creep you out.
Okay.
Give you some goosebumps.
Probably.
Heebie-jeebies and the such.
Never.
And the like.
I'm brave.
You're brave. Okay, well, here we go.
Okay.
Are you ready to learn about the Enfield Horror?
I'm ready.
All right, I'm going to take you back, way back to 1973, April 25th of 1973.
Okay, I'm there in my mind.
Is the first sighting. Now, one of the scariest parts about the Enfield Horror to me is that the first person to see this creature was Greg Garrett. He was about 9 or 10 at the time.
Little kid.
He was just playing in his backyard.
Okay.
And he's playing in his backyard, and all of a sudden, his parents, they're inside watching TV.
Okay.
And all of a sudden,
Greg Garrett, okay.
G-Man.
Two first names.
Bursts through the door.
Okay.
Bursts through the door of the house and startles his parents, who were watching TV, allowing their child to play in the backyard because it's a small town.
Yeah.
Who should be safe out there?
Yeah, I'm sure they had windows.
Bursts through the door. And says he was attacked by a creature that, quote, had three legs, gray slimy skin, and short claws. Blood.
Three legs?
Red eyes. Three legs.
So three legs. Okay.
Right, which is interesting. Keep that in mind for later.
Wait, say it again. Three legs.
Gray slimy skin, short claws, and blood red eyes.
Short claws. Okay.
Now,
okay.
Greg says that the creature came up to him, stamped on his feet in sort of a, I don't even know what you'd call that, like a scratching motion, and tore his shoes to shreds.
Okay.
Now, all the accounts that I have found said that it did stamp on his feet, and some of the sources said that it actually tore his shoes to shreds as he tried to back away from it. And he was able to get up and run inside. And the parents, you know, they look outside, they're like, okay, what attacked our kid?
Yeah.
Didn't see anything. Hmm. No sign of the creature. Now, Greg is adamant, like, look at my shoes, I didn't make this up, and, you know, you might just blow it off to a kid's imagination if it weren't for the shoes. And then, half an hour later, on the same night, April 25th, this is about 9:30 p.m., Henry McDaniel and his wife return home from, we're not sure what. One source says he is coming home from a meeting. That's actually the newspaper says he that I found. Mm-hmm. Says he was coming home from a meeting. Other sources say it was date night.
Okay.
So,
well,
honestly,
it doesn't really matter.
Who knows? Date night, a meeting with his wife.
Right.
Date night, meeting with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
They went to a meeting for date night. That's what I do.
I mean, it's fine.
Business meetings, close deals,
their own.
Make that money, you know.
So Henry McDaniel and his wife, they come home to their two young children terrified in the house. They say,
okay, the children are terrified.
The children are terrified. Yes, the children are in the house.
They come home terrified. They see their children. That's what I took it. That's what I thought you said at first. I was like,
all
wait.
Right, I'm going to back up. Half an hour after young Gregory.
They came home from a meeting. They walk in the door. The kids are like,
the kids are like, Mom, Dad.
Right.
You will not believe we are terrified.
Okay.
Something tried to break in the house.
Oh, okay. Oh, no.
Right.
Like
and
that.
The parents are like, yeah, okay. There's probably a dog or a cat outside scratching on the door.
No.
Famous last words. Just kidding. But anyway, the kids are like, something tried to break in. It even jumped on top of our mounted AC unit. Which, I'm thinking, we have a mounted AC unit.
Yeah, we're also on the third floor, though.
You don't know how high the infield horror can jump.
That's true, with three legs.
With three legs? Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not saying I've seen one in West Virginia. I'm just saying if we did, he has a thing for air conditioners.
Yeah, so we're in trouble.
So anyway, he tried to break through the door when he couldn't break through the door, or she. It jumped on the mounted AC system and tried to get in that way. I was trying to tear it down and get in.
Right.
And the dad's like, okay, it was probably just a dog or a cat jumping around on stuff. Everybody calm down.
No, listen, I want to say.
Until.
If I ever came home and my kids were like, oh my God, someone tried to get in, I would immediately like lock the doors, go to the bathroom, lock my kids in the bathroom, find a weapon, and like scout out the house. I'm not going to do this whole, like, oh, it's a cat.
Well, I mean, they're kids. I don't know how old they are. I mean, old enough that they left them home alone, but it's a small town. I don't know what their imaginations are like. We don't know these kids. But you're right. I'd be like, oh, okay, let me check and make sure it's safe.
Yeah.
You know, your kid thinks there's a green-eyed boogeyman in the closet or under the bed. You check, you say, you know.
At least fake it.
At least fake it, right.
At least fake it.
So, anyway, they're mid-conversation of, it's probably a dog or a cat when they hear a scratching sound at the door.
I bet it's that dog or cat.
It's probably a dog or a cat. Henry's like, he's like, it's probably a dog or a cat. Opens the door.
Oh my God, didn't even, like, peek out a window.
Just opens the door, and he's basically face-to-face with a quote-unquote monster.
Ugh.
He called it a pink-eyed monstrosity. He said, and this is a quote from the newspaper that was when Henry was interviewed, it says, it had three legs on it, a short body, two little short arms coming out of its breast area, and two pink eyes as big as flashlights.
Sounds like a T-Rex.
It stood 4.5 feet tall and was grayish colored, and it was trying to get in the house.
Well, he opened the door.
Well, at least it scratched at the door. I mean, it didn't try.
Being polite.
It was just. Maybe you needed to borrow a cup of sugar.
His Uber's here.
Did anybody ever stop to think?
He's
maybe
the Uber driver.
It just. It's 1973. We don't have Uber.
Darn it.
Much more likely that it was just trying to borrow a cup
of sugar.
Or get directions. Yeah, it's a new neighbor. Moved in. Stopped by to say hello.
Yeah.
Greetings.
Yeah.
Anyway, Henry is like, oh no. Closes the door. Grabs his pistol. Opens the door back up. I'm very confused about this. And fires at the creature.
Okay. Wait, is it still like right?
It's close to the door of the house. It's still trying to get in the house.
Okay.
The account.
Yeah.
So he opens the door. He starts firing his pistol at it. He fired at least 4 shots. Some of the sources say there was more. I see at least 4. And he swears he hit it at least 1 time.
Okay.
So
it could have
been
close enough.
Yeah, I mean,
if it's that close, yeah.
Right. He said,
even if you're scared and shaking, you're probably going to graze
it. He said the actual shots didn't seem to phase the creature. He said it hissed like a wildcat and then turned and bounded away what seemed like 50, some sources say 75, so 50 to 75 feet away in 3 leaps.
Got those 3 legs working.
It got those 3 legs. In 3 leaps, it was able to move 50 to 75 feet away toward an embankment and the railroad tracks.
Okay.
So this thing moves quick.
Right.
So fast. Okay, so we have Greg Garrett.
Yeah.
The little kid, he saw it.
Yeah.
And then half an hour later,
tore up his shoes.
The McDaniel family, right, it tore up his shoes. The McDaniel family sees it. They call the police.
Yeah.
Henry McDaniel calls the police. The police come, and they, you know, they're looking around. They're like, yeah, okay, man, whatever. And then they look, and they find scratches on the side of the house.
Okay.
They find actual scratches, and there's a picture of, and I don't see anything, but it's a picture of the side of their house where apparently the police saw these scratches,
okay.
And you can see the AC unit in the window.
Okay.
It reminds me more of the one at our grandfather's house, at Papa's house, that just, like, kind of hangs in the window, and you always, like, think it's going to fall out.
Okay.
Because, and the cat jumps up on it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what it reminds me
of. It's just like a window unit, like, yeah.
Right, and I'll show it to you. I mean, it's just this little tiny...
Okay.
I mean, it's an old
picture. That's like a not a great picture. Yeah.
But, I mean, this is what the police, this is the picture that supposedly, you know,
well,
was taken.
I'm just saying that it was, you could probably see it in person rather than.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, 1973. This picture might not even be legit. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
But this is what a lot of sources had posted.
Right.
So the other thing the police find are prints in the sand of the side yard of the McDaniels house.
Okay.
And they said, they described the prints as having 6 toe pads on each of the 3 feet. One of the feet was slightly smaller than the other.
Well, that's probably, I was picturing it as like 2 in the front and then 1 at the back. So kind of sustaining like a tripod.
Right.
So the one that's not even, like the 2 are even and then the other one's probably the smaller one.
Absolutely. And now, a lot of people around the town, you know, they start talking. They didn't see any other sign of the creature, so they're like, okay, well, like, we have these footprints, we have this. Mm-hmm. There's a cat on the table, in case anybody hears that.
Yeah.
It's not the first time, it won't be the last.
He's on my lap now.
He's on her lap now. Anyway, people in the town start talking. Henry McDaniel's going around, and he's like, gosh darn it, listen to what I'm saying. Keep your kids inside. Yeah. Everybody's freaked out. It's a small town, and suddenly there's this creature has supposedly attacked one child.
Yeah.
And tried to bust into a house where 2 other children were home alone at first.
Right.
So the police go, listen, Henry, you can't go scaring everybody in the town.
No.
We don't have enough evidence to say that this is here, and if you keep it up, we're going to arrest you.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, they threaten to arrest him, and he's like, gosh darn it, this is what I saw. I'm sticking to my story.
He was just trying to help.
He was trying to warn everybody, and he saw what he saw. He came face to face with this thing. Now, some people are saying, okay, the most likely theory is, come on, Henry, it's an escaped kangaroo.
What?
Because this is a 3-legged thing, okay? It's got 2 feet, and then the third foot's probably the tail. This is the only...
Okay, but has he, like, never seen a kangaroo before?
Now, this is the thing. Henry says, you're all full of it. I know what a kangaroo looks like. Now, he says, I know what a kangaroo looks like, and I'm gonna blow up this article because I want to read exactly what he says.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe that. Was there a zoo nearby? Like, there's no kangaroos, native to Illinois, right?
Not really. But McDaniel says that he's sure it wasn't a kangaroo because he was in the military. And in the time he was in the military...
They had kangaroos.
He was stationed in Australia and had a pet kangaroo.
Okay, well, then that doesn't make sense because he's
definitely not. He would know, of all the people in Enfield, Illinois...
Yeah, who would know what a kangaroo is.
What a kangaroo looks like.
Right.
Henry McDaniel is the man. Okay, so we've got 2 sightings so far.
Okay.
Henry is going all around town saying, you gotta listen, you gotta watch your kids.
Right.
I imagine...
The police are saying, you're gonna be arrested. Everyone else is saying, oh, it was a kangaroo.
Saying, like, listen, we're trying to take care of it.
What?
You gotta calm down. You're causing a frenzy. Like, we gotta play it cool, Henry.
I guess.
And, of course, he's like, no. Like, we gotta warn people.
Yeah.
So... A few days later, so this was April 25th, a few days later, probably about 2 weeks, on May the 6th, there was another sighting.
Okay.
Now, it was, again, Henry McDaniel.
Okay, interesting.
Now, he claims that around 3 a.m., this is what I'm saying, this man is losing sleep. He's worried this thing's going to come back to his house.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
And field horror is coming for you.
Hide your pets.
Hide your pet. Well.
Hide your mules.
Hide your shoes.
Hide your mules.
Hide your mules.
Anyway, McDaniel is up around 3 a.m. and he's just like, he keeps going to look at the out the door and at the window. And he says he sees the creature again. And this time it's... Just kind of, we said before it ran up the bank towards the train tracks.
Right.
So he says he's looking out towards that direction, and he sees it on the train tracks, just kind of looking around, moseying around like an animal, just kind of curious, checking stuff out, walking along the train tracks, and he said it didn't seem like it was in a hurry to go anywhere. It was just so clearly it wasn't after anybody.
Yeah, or it just lives around there.
Yeah.
Like, if it gets shot, it's going to run back to somewhere it knows.
Right. And it headed back that way.
Yeah, and if it's that way, I'm sure it's, like, around there.
Right.
Stays around there.
Yep. Now, the, we already talked about Henry McDaniel was almost arrested, because now he's like, I saw it again, you guys, I saw it again. Mm-hmm. And the White County Sheriff's, now this is the County Sheriff, Roy Posher Jr., says, man, I am telling you, I'm going to arrest you if you keep it up.
Really?
He's like, I'm telling you, this is going to happen. I've warned you. You got to stop doing this.
Okay, I have a question, though. Are people believing him, though? Because, like, I think it's one thing for him to be going around saying this stuff and people to be, like, nuts and, like, boarding up their houses and bothering the police and saying, like, I saw it. You know what I mean? And, like, a frenzy. And then them being like, oh, we're going to arrest you. Like, okay. But if it's like, he's just saying all this stuff and everybody's like, okay, sure you did, Henry. Then it's kind of rude, in my opinion, for the police to be like, oh, we're going to arrest you.
Well, here's the thing. Henry has been talking so much and spreading the word that the news starts picking up the story.
Okay.
Hunters, monster hunters, self-proclaimed monster hunters, and news people are coming to Enfield. These monster hunters are coming, and they want to see the creature. Now, you know, there's tons of people looking.
Mm-hmm.
People are flooding the area. I don't know how many people.
Right.
But it's sparked enough attention that the sheriff's upset.
Yeah.
There's monster hunters coming. And several young men are actually arrested by Deputy Sheriff Jim Clark as, quote, threats to public safety after they said they saw the creature, cornered it under some bushes, and started just shooting at it under these bushes.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, amateur monster hunters, like, I feel like that's not a good look for a town because, like, they're just going to be wandering around in the woods.
With guns.
With guns, like, shooting whatever they see. On edge.
And not even like, in the woods. Believe. Not even in the woods. These people are congregating and searching around the area where between the Garrett household and the McDaniels household.
Right, so it's, like, near
along
homes.
The train tracks, okay. Which is an more open area.
Yeah.
There is a picture of a, like, a railroad depot that's been torn down since then, and it was in Enfield. I don't know if it's exactly the same area.
Right.
But it is a picture that I've seen in several sources where there was this railroad depot, and this is one of the places that they supposedly thought the monster would hang around. But these young men...
He just ran the depot.
He was probably a train conductor at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how railroad personnel works.
Me neither.
Stoke the fire.
That's all I gotta say.
Do you remember the train that would go around Grandma Jean's Christmas tree, and if you push certain buttons, it would yell, stoke the fire?
Yeah, I did.
What else did it say?
I don't know.
All aboard.
Yeah.
Stoke the fire. I just always like to push that one. I like the enthusiasm in his voice. Now I want you to picture a three-legged creature with big pink flashlight eyes. Little stubby T-Rex arm.
Just trying to do his job.
Yelling, stroke the fire.
I mean, that would be a little scary, I'm not gonna lie.
It would give me the creeps,
yeah.
But I would also appreciate that he was working hard to contribute to society.
Yes. Let him live, people.
But
he's trying to break in, so, like, he should at least go to be arrested and go to jail.
We don't know if he was trying to break in or if he was trying to
knock
at
the
door.
That's true, he didn't, like, bust down the door. Okay. Okay.
He jumped on their air conditioner.
Yeah, that's a little suspicious.
According to the small children.
I believe them.
I believe them, too. Anyway, so, several young men.
Yes.
Some sources say three, some say five.
Okay.
Were arrested on May 8th, so 2 days after the 3 a.m. sighting.
Right.
So news spread
that
quick.
Fast. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know if people were coming to town after the first sighting or just after the second.
Yeah,
Probably. Both.
Okay.
But these kids, it just says young men, they're arrested by deputy sheriff. They said, you know, it was under these bushes. We started shooting at it. Two of them said they swore that they hit it, but it ran off, quote, stoke the fire. It ran off, quote, faster than any man could run.
I mean, that holds up because the one guy said that it went, 75 yards in
75
seconds?
Feet, yeah.
75 feet in 3 seconds?
In 3 leaps.
3 leaps. Well, still, if it can
How
do that.
How fast is Usain Bolt? Not that quick.
I don't know.
If this thing's faster than Usain Bolt...
We're not sprinters.
I've never claimed to be a sprinter. Anyway. Okay. So these kids, they get arrested, threats to public safety. Then you have Rick Rainbow, whose name I love. Rick Rainbow. Adore that.
Okay.
Rick Rainbow is considered one of the more credible persons to have seen the infield horror.
Okay, but nobody else is?
He's just one of the more well-known people.
Okay.
Because he was a director of a radio news broadcast. I think he was a director of the radio station.
Okay.
But he, in particular, was in charge of this news broadcast on WWKI in Kokomo, Indiana. So, where I don't know where that is in relation to infield, but he came from Kokomo, Indiana.
Okay.
Rick Rainbow Rick came Rainbow, from Kokomo, Indiana.
What a name to be on radio.
I'm Rick Rainbow for WWKI in Kokomo, Indiana. I love that, that so much. That was
good. It sounds good.
Stoke the fire, Rick Stop Rainbow. I'm sorry. It's stuck in my head now. I can't wait for the Christmas tree and the train to come out. I don't even know if she still has that. I just remember it from my childhood. Poor Greg Garrett, his childhood memories are getting his shoes torn to shreds.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, Rick Rainbow.
Rick Rainbow was one of the more credible sources. Him and three other people were in the area searching for the monster.
Okay.
When they said they saw it running away from them, and they didn't get a great look. They couldn't get a picture of it or any kind of photo, but they did have a recorder with them and were able to record its, quote, banshee-like cry.
Excuse me?
Banshee-like cry. Now, before it hissed, now it cries like a banshee. I'm not entirely sure.
It's crying now because nobody wants to be its
friend. Nobody will give it a darn cup of sugar. Mm-hmm. I think that's all it wanted. It was trying to bake cupcakes
mm-hmm.
for the Mule Day festivities.
Yeah.
Months away.
Yeah.
And it didn't have any sugar.
It was testing out its recipe. Well, there's a cakewalk, so it was testing out what cake it wanted to use for it.
For the cakewalk. You're absolutely right. It's all coming together.
Yeah.
They didn't have this brainstorming.
They didn't have the detective brains that we have.
Right. Which we got from years of math field day and...
Oh, no, I wasn't that great.
I was terrible at math field day. Why did they send us? What did they think that we were going to do?
I just wanted to skip day from school.
Yeah. Pack your lunch. Go away from the day and try to
do math all
day. Hold an orange or a grapefruit and tell me how much it weighs just by holding it.
That wasn't a thing, was it?
We held something. I thought it was a melon.
Oh,
was
it not? I do not remember that.
What was your physical estimation?
We always just did the counting and the thing.
Oh, no. At one point in
time. Or, like, they're like, okay, how much time is this? And then, like, they, like, do a period of silence. You never did that one?
What?
Well, they were like, okay, everybody get ready, set, go. And then, like, they would start a timer, and then they'd be like, okay, stop. And, like, you would have to, like, estimate how long that was.
I specifically remember some type of activity, whether it was on the school level or the county level, where we had an object in our hand and we had to guess the weight of it.
Well, I remember that, but I don't remember, like, a melon.
Texting whoever in my phone I have that I'm still know from high school. Probably. I'm Facebook messaging people after this is over.
Melon? Really? Huh.
I feel like I'm making that up now. You're making me really doubt myself.
Well, I think each... I mean, we're not the same age. I think each grade level had different...
Shh. We're trying to make people think we're twins.
Well, I'm saying I don't think each grade level had the same thing.
No, but...
Per year.
I really think that was part of it.
They're not going to keep the same melon every
year. Do you think
year.
I'm getting confused math field day with the pumpkin drop?
Now I do.
Anyway, Rick Rainbow and his three witnesses...
Yes.
They recorded a banshee-like cry, which they say is from the creature who they saw running away.
Okay.
And they were later described it as gray, stooped over, and about 5 feet tall.
Okay, four and, this and a half. That holds
four
up
and
with
half,
the other
five
ones.
Feet
yeah.
tall,
okay.
gray, stooped over. It was kind of hunched.
Right.
You know, and it was moving away from them. They also said it was pretty fast. They didn't have a great description because it was moving away from them.
Did you listen to the recording?
I didn't find it. We can go back and try and find it later, but I didn't find it. But I do know that it caught the attention of a famous cryptozoologist. who I think that's our new career path. Mm-hmm. Cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman.
Okay.
Who heard the creature's cry. He heard the recording, and it drew him to the area, and he did not see the creature in person, but he did say he heard the creature's cry when he was searching near the Garrett McDaniels homes. So he was in the area searching where the sightings had been, and he heard a similar banshee-like cry.
Interesting. It would be interesting to hear it because, I mean, there are animals that will make, like, loud calls. Because I'm just saying, for example, like bobcats, when they make their calls, a lot of people think they're, like, people screaming or women screaming. Or, like, right. Foxes make crazy noises. I just think it would be interesting to hear it and compare it to other animals.
No, that I might agree be in the you.
Area. I don't know. It would just be interesting.
I agree with you, and I don't know where, you know, he said he got the recording of it and people heard it, but looking up in the research that I did, I didn't see it.
Well,
that doesn't
I mean,
it's not out it there somewhere.
It was 73, so I mean, it might
know.
Not have made it all the right. way to now.
Right, I don't
or
know
it could
what.
Be on a tape recorder in someone's house and didn't make it to
oh
the...
Oh my gosh, can you imagine finding that in Grandpa's old trunk upstairs in the attic?
You just
I
press
found
play.
This tape.
Yeah.
You push play and you hear some god-awful
screaming.
Noise.
Screaming? Yeah, that'd be terrifying.
Anyway, Warren Coleman's account of the cry of the creature is the last well-known information that we have. So, as quickly as the sightings began, they stopped. Now, you know, speculation as to where this creature came from. Some people said, escaped kangaroo.
No.
We shot that down. Henry McDaniel shot that down. You know, I don't know, a zoo, a circus, someone could have had it as a pet.
That's true, and it got away.
Illegally, but he said, I know what a kangaroo looks like.
Yeah.
It's not what this is. It doesn't explain the eyes, it doesn't explain the six toes.
Yeah.
And three separate footprints, which
yeah.
the police even said they saw.
Right.
Now, others say that there is a particularly high rate of sightings of UFOs reported in the area, in the infield area around this time. There was it skyrocketed. A lot of people think that this was an actual alien who got lost from its ship, separated from its ship.
No.
And may have, you know, because the sightings stopped around that time too.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, it got separated from its ship and then it got picked back up.
Right. Oh, that'd be sad if it got lost.
It would be really sad, but those are the two most common theories.
Interesting. Well, you know what I wonder, too, is if they actually did kill it, and it just went and died somewhere, and nobody found it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, I mean, people say it didn't act wounded, Rick Rainbow, you know, he saw it after the young men who said they wounded it.
Yeah, but it could still be walking around.
It could be.
Got infected or something.
Now, the interesting thing, and we go back to, you know, the frenzy that Henry started in the town. He almost got arrested for it. This particular scenario of the infield horror was actually used in a case study paper in 1978, a paper on social contagion. Sociologists cited the infield horror as an example of collective behavior, which is where a group or crowd can be affected by the spread of group emotions, such as panics, hysterias, collective visions, and extreme suggestibility.
Like, it's a thing. Like, I've heard stories
right.
about it before.
This is something
well, that's
that
why,
people
that's
blame
why people,
the Salem
witch
trials.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Right, absolutely. This is one of the theories behind
it's
the
like
Salem
witch. It's like mass hysteria.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And so this was... Now, I don't see where people went out with pitchforks and guns and combed the area, but it... But
well, on a smaller scale, though, monster hunters were coming to look for it.
They came to the area. You know, kids were most likely kept inside.
Yeah.
People were scared to have them out in the yards playing. And this had once been a very quiet, small town, except for the first Wednesday through Saturday in October.
For Mule Day.
For Mule Days.
Mule Day started in 1920...
1921.
Okay. Yes, it's been going on. Jeez. Okay.
I wonder if they still had a parade that year. I bet they did. The parade goes on.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Interesting story.
So, yeah. And I have for you, this is one of the less believable things I think I've seen in cryptid research, but I have a picture for you of the three footprints.
Wait, that just looks like two babies' footprints side by side. You see what I mean? Like...
Yes, but look at all the toes.
I don't know. That looks not what I was expecting.
Right, and I think it's backwards, because I think it's supposed to be two in the front and one in the back. But I just thought you'd
love to take a gander.
I do have newspapers.com does have the snippet from the newspaper of Henry McDaniel's actual interview mm-hmm. of the account of his sightings, and I believe we'll be able to probably post
we'll
that.
We'll post sources and pictures.
Right, absolutely, because there's several pictures of the Enfield Horror, and I didn't actually show you a picture of him.
Oh, yeah, you didn't.
I didn't. I'm going to show you one right now.
So I'll plug our stuff while you
go ahead,
look one up.
Yeah.
So she's going to show me these pictures. If you want to see these pictures, I will try and post them, especially to our Instagram. I'll try to do it on our Twitter too. They are both the same, BIAR podcast. If you want to go check us out on there, please follow. Oh, okay. Well, that one looks like a fish. Okay, some of those look kind of cute, though.
Some of the cartoon drawings of the Enfield Horror
are kind of
adorable.
Sorry, dropped something. That one looks kind of creepy, though.
Yeah, that one's kind of creepy.
Hairy Jabba the
This
Hutt.
Is the most common one. We'll post the most popular
Yeah, we'll post the
version.
Most popular ones on Instagram and probably Twitter. So once again, that's BIAR podcast. If you want to learn more, we'll post the sources that she used. So the one with the full article with Henry mm-hmm. McDaniels, we'll post that on our website. buginarug.podbean.com. Most of the time, the last couple ones that I've put up there, the sources are just listed right under the description of the video.
Right.
And you can listen to this podcast on podbean.com. We're also on Spotify now, and hopefully by the time this comes out, we'll be on iTunes too. So if you want to check us out on any of those, that'll work.
Yeah, you can just search Bug in a Rug or the name of the episode, which you may or may not know, depending on if you've been checking our social media. But yeah, just creep on over, check those out. Also, you know, if you have any ideas for what you want to hear about, or if you want to be a guest on the podcast, we're looking for other people who we can try and creep out a little bit.
Yeah.
So if you would like to be one of those guests, please just send us an email at biarpodcast@gmail.com, and we would love to hear from you.
Yep.
Love to hear, you know, your ideas. If you want to be a guest, let us know.
Yep.
Speaking of reactions, I do want to ask you.
Yeah, I'm ready.
After hearing about the Enfield Horror, do you think that this story will keep you up at night, or do you think you'll still be able to sleep as snug as a bug in a rug?
So, I've been thinking about this while you've been telling the story. I think that this is actually a really creepy monster. I think it's a little creepier. I always think cryptids are a little more creepy if, like, you don't quite know what it is. So, like, when we did the lizard man, like, okay, it's a lizard slash man. But, like, the Enfield Horror, like, you can't quite place it. Like, you don't know what it is.
We know it's not a kangaroo.
It's not a kangaroo, for sure. So, like, that is definitely a little creepy. However, I think it makes it less creepy that it hasn't been seen
since 1973.
Yeah.
Right. It was a very narrow window.
Right.
I totally understand that. To me, when I was researching this, what made it stand out to me is the fact that it seemed to target small children.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
That, to me, was the creepiest part mm-hmm. because a lot of times, you know, kids are most afraid of monsters, and you're always like, oh, it's fine, we'll reassure them. But in this case, adults saw it, too.
And were scared, too.
And it was never explained.
Yeah.
There were UFOs sighted in the area. Mm-hmm. You know, could it be an alien? And if this is what aliens look like, boy howdy.
Boy howdy, I'm not ready.
Earth ain't ready.
I'm not ready. I don't know, it's interesting, too, because if it was aliens, I would be interested to see if similar sightings happened elsewhere, but nobody, like, connected that. You know what I mean?
Some people made a connection between this and said that if people take vacations, then monsters can, too. And they said that since it stopped being seen in 1973 and the Mount Vernon cryptid, Mount Vernon?
I don't know.
Cryptid? I'm going to look it up. But there was a cryptid that showed up in Mount Vernon in 1974.
Okay, that was similar.
Yeah, people say it was similar. I took a look at it, and what I saw was...
They might be cousins, but they're not.
Something covered in hair that looked nothing like what was described.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Okay.
So, whether or not it traveled somewhere else, or it just, you know...
Yeah. I think...
Went back into space.
So, final thoughts are... Right now, I'm fine. I'm going to sleep as snug as a bug in a rug.
Good to hear.
But as soon as I walk outside to go to my car in the dark, my thoughts are going to change.
Absolutely. I think that...
And I'm going to be running to my car.
I completely agree with what you're saying.
That's what I think.
Totally got you. Totally got you.
Yeah.
So, anyway... Okay, so listeners, we definitely want to hear from you as well.
Yes.
Go ahead, if you want to tweet at us, comment on the Instagram,
sure, we'll try
send us an email, let us know if this story of the infield horror gave you the creepy crawlies and will keep you up at night, or if you'll still be able to sleep as snug as a bug in a rug.
Yes. So. Quickly before we go, one of our friends from high school, Kirsten White, she also does a podcast. It's called Appalachian Crime Trail. So if you want to hear some more creepy, creepy stories, head on over there and give her a listen as well. And that's it, I think, for now, right? Well, we'll see you next time. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Whitney.
Bye.
Sleep tight.